Good evening and welcome to our Wednesday meeting. It's Wednesday evening where we are, and we have quite many gathered here tonight. So I should be very nervous, but I'm not. Thank God. I have a little message for you, but before we get started, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the song that we just sang. Thank you for the grace you have given for this day. Thank you that we are able, that we are alive, that we are healthy, healthy enough to be active. Lord, we acknowledge that you have given us so much grace. And we ask that you bless these words, bless the verses we are going to read. Come and minister to us with your spirit. Amen. Peter asked something yesterday when Jesus says, many will come to me on that day and tell me, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name and done miracles in your name? And I will confess and I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And I just started thinking about it. Do we see it at other places in the Bible that there would be false people in the church? And maybe this is not my focus for today, but this is going to be one of my points. Because we have this approach as a ministry and as a church that we believe people, we take them at their word, right? Somebody comes in, we receive them. We are not suspicious. We are not going to start poking and find out bad things about anybody. If somebody confesses Christ, we are going to receive them as brothers and sisters and love them like Christ has taught us to love. But we see, for example, in Matthew 13, starting from verse 24, a parable about two kinds of seed that are sown in the same field. And Jesus said, this is the kingdom of God. The world is the field, and there are two kinds of seed, and they grow together, they grow up together. So not everybody, maybe, who says the right thing or does the thing that we think is expected really belongs to Christ. It's possible that they don't. So we have to be aware of that. And we go to the book of Galatians because it's a very interesting book. The theme is I would say the theme of the book of Galatians is no compromise in the message of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Don't compromise the gospel. And what was the context why Paul had to write that epistle was because he had planted a church in Galata, it's called, right? And then some Judaizers came and started telling these believers that, yes, you have believed in Christ, and that's great, but you should have something more, something else, just one little thing. How about being circumcised? And Paul has to come and speak to them about this issue. Christ is enough. He did not come to patch up the old, but he came and brought something brand new. That's why it's called a new covenant, a new testament in Jesus. So the issue was grace plus something, a compromise that some people brought this message to the Galatians, and Paul was concerned about them. So I'm going to read a few verses from chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2. And then we'll talk about it a little bit, try to imagine what these things could be in our time. So from verse 1, Galatians 2, 1, Paul speaks about his life and his ministry, how he started to minister. It says, and after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and said before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was running or had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers, secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them, we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And we finish here at the end of verse 5. So, let me try to sum up this situation for you. Maybe it's a little bit hard to follow the text and see what happens. So, Paul, having ministered for a number of years alone after Christ had called him, he goes finally to Jerusalem and meets some of those apostles who were apostles before him. And on this journey, he brings Titus with him, who is a Christian from a Greek background. He was not a Jew. So a non-Jew comes to a Jewish Christian environment. And then there were some people there who would have liked to have seen Titus being circumcised. And Paul says that I made sure to stand against this influence and not to give in for one moment, so that we would keep the gospel message clear and undefiled, uncompromised, for generations to come. So I have 3 points, and I'm going to do it in Pastor Mikael style. It will start with S. So the first one is a subtle spy. These are the false brethren who came in. He says the false brethren who were secretly brought in, slipped in. And this is why I read that or refer to this portion in Matthew 13. That we have to remember that there are two kinds of seed in this world. And they grow together. And I think this is a theme in the Bible that we see. There, maybe we can go back to Cain and Abel. There were two brothers. One was godly, the other one was not. There's Esau and Jacob. One was loved by God, the other one was hated or rejected by God. there's two kinds of seeds. Even in the close discipleship circle of Jesus, there was one who did not fit there. He was of the wrong kind of seed. And he was allowed to be there, actually. Yeah, this is what Jesus said, that the good seed and the bad seed grow together, and they cannot be separated here on the earth, but they have to go under the sickle. And when judgment comes at the end, that's when the Lord of the harvest will separate them, the good from the bad. So false brethren were allowed to sneak into this church. And we don't know who they are, and we are not going to start looking in the church either, like, oh, is it he or is it her? We don't know. There's no reason to be suspicious. We are called to love everybody. But I believe that there is some kind of an influence in every church. Maybe it's different things in different times. I'm going to speak about it at the end. Maybe some people sometimes speak like the enemy does. Maybe sometimes there's something that takes place that is the work of the enemy. And these false brethren came, it says here, to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ. I just think it's good to understand what spies do. A spy is an enemy, right? A spy gathers intelligence that he can report back that could be used against us. That's what a spy does. That's his mission. So if somebody comes to spy out our liberty, that's not done for the same purpose as we are talking about our freedom, but they want to find something that can be used against us. And he says what it is here too. So that they might bring us into slavery again. And I just want to talk about it a little bit, that our liberty in Christ is something that is very real. When he died on the cross and he took our sins on himself, he paid for them all, and we know that his righteousness is ours by faith. This is the whole subject of this book of Galatians. The just shall live by faith. We are not just because we have done something, but we are just because he has justified us. He has given us his own righteousness. And so after we are justified, we live by our faith also. And we have come to this justification by faith, by believing in what God has said. So our freedom is real. It's not that when we get saved, then God is going to put some burden on us, right? There's no small text. There's no contract that you write. What is the calling to salvation? It's, if you come to me, anybody who comes to me, I will not cast him out, right? This is what he said. At any point, if I cry out to God, if when I come to the realization that I cannot save myself and I need somebody who has done it, and I embrace him, he is going to accept me. He's going to receive me right where I am. He's not standing there to tell me, okay, we make a deal. You believe in me, I give you my righteousness, and then you will have to do something for me. It's not like that. We see Paul's example. It's written in different places in the book of Acts, for example, but he sees Jesus, meets him in a real way, falls on the ground, and he actually asks this question, what do you want me to do now? He asks Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say to him, you have to serve me. But he says, go into the city and you will meet somebody. Yes, Paul had a calling, but he confesses himself that it was God's love that compelled him to minister. So we might become servants of God because we are free.
Mm.
But this is there's a contrast here in this verse that we read, where the spies who came in to spy at our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. Freedom in Christ and slavery. What does a slave do? He obeys. He doesn't have a choice, right?
Mm.
But Jesus said in John 15:15, they are not servants, but you are friends. So when we enter into a relationship with God through salvation, that is a friendship. And the world wants to bring us back into slavery, a different kind of relationship. And Paul speaks about it, I don't want to go there, but later in this book of Galatians he says, don't you know if you get circumcised, you have to keep the law. If you choose the way of the law, then you have to fulfill it. You have to meet the requirements of the law, all of it. What does the law say? If you keep it, then you will be blessed. But if you don't, then woe to you. So freedom or service? Freedom, free or slave? Free or servant? Paul says that we have a freedom in Christ, but there are people who want to bring us into slavery. And then he continues, he says, to them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment. Have you felt pressured at any time? I was thinking about it today a little bit. I think I have to confess that I'm one of those people who doesn't handle pressure very well. But maybe you would like to find a compromise. And there's a pressure to please people. especially if they are in the same group, right? People who are close to us. And I can just imagine this situation. There's a group of believers, and most of them are from a Jewish background, and they start saying, yep, it's important to be circumcised. The law doesn't matter, nothing, but circumcision, that's something that we just can't let go. So there's somebody here among us, Titus, he is a Greek. Yeah, he belongs to Christ, but we believe he should be circumcised. Maybe they're not aggressive with it, but just there's a little pressure there. And Paul says, we cannot give them any room. I made sure that they don't get any space. I was just thinking what those things are that sneak into our churches nowadays and want to make us compromise. Well, first of all, okay, this is the principle that we have established, that compromise is not possible, at least not in this issue, because Paul said that this would take away the truth of the gospel, and that's very important. But we live in a time when everything is done by compromise. We live in a democracy that is built on people coming to a common understanding somehow. There are committees that discuss things. Discussions, debates, arguments, and then you chisel your point of view until you can agree with everybody else. And that means that you have to compromise. That's the rule. And I'm just thinking that maybe this is something that easily comes in the church also. We feel when we get together that we need to adjust to each other, and that means that I'm willing to compromise. And I'm not talking about practical things, you know. Of course we can compromise if we, for example, about where we should meet in the city, what time we should meet, you know, many things like that. We do compromise, but Paul says that there are some things when it comes to the gospel, we cannot make any concessions. If you want to do one thing, to bring in the law, then the whole thing is poisoned, and this is what he said later in chapter 5, verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's not possible to make any little concession in this area. So he made sure that he is not going to give any room to these people. There's one person among them who is not circumcised. And it seems like it's the majority, maybe. And wouldn't it be good, you know, to take Titus? He could have a little Jewish influence, you know. Because there are good things also in Jewish culture. But he didn't look at it as a cultural thing. He looked at it as a spiritual circumcision. So number two is a point two is a strong stand. First one was a subtle spy. Point two is a strong stand. I remember Pastor Shabella was preaching about this once. We did not give room for them, not even for 1 hour, it says, but not even a little bit, a little tiny bit of influence. What are those things that can come in nowadays? Like I said, the problem here is not with culture. The problem is a spiritual issue. No compromise in the message, right? The means of salvation. It cannot be grace plus something else. It cannot be Christ and circumcision. It has to be only Christ. Otherwise, he died in vain, he says at the end. If Christ is not enough, then nothing is enough. So, if we take it seriously, that it has great effect in our lives in every area. So some of those things that maybe we see coming into our churches, false brethren, maybe not necessarily people, but some ideas that pop up, some things that sneak in, a little bit of humanism. Have you? Do you see that? It might happen. That we don't want to be so dogmatic about certain things, and we make a compromise. For example, let's say about relationships. We start being a little bit slack with these things, and we think it's okay, and we can get away with something. Now, this is not a salvation issue, but I'm just saying that there are some things that can sneak in, and maybe we don't want to give space to them. Or if you think about salvation issues, the scripture is being attacked sometimes. For example, there's a pressure not to speak about heaven and hell because it scares people. And there's a certain feeling in the church that it's not nice to do that, so we should refrain from that. We should not call people to salvation because it puts them on the spot, makes them feel uncomfortable. This is a little humanism, a little bit of what's going on in the world that sneaks into the church. Be a little bit more tolerant. Maybe you think that Christ is the only one who can save, but you don't have to preach it because somebody might be offended if they come in. So just be a little bit more inclusive, Don't be so narrow-minded. Have you noticed some of these things? It's none of us here, but I just, I know. The enemy can sneak in to spy out what we have in Christ, take it away from us, and make us slaves, servants to something that we shouldn't be. And then we walk on eggshells and we try to please everybody, or live in fear, who are you going to be offended for something that we say or we do that we shouldn't. That's not of Christ. And I don't want to give more examples, but I think you understand what I'm thinking about it. And there are more things. In Paul's time in that church, it was about the Judaizers, it was about a Jewish idea how to be pleasing God, and they thought that being circumcised is something that a Christian could do. And Paul says, no chance that you are going to circumcise my Greek brother. He's not a Jew. The law is not for him. I don't want you to touch it. Yeah. So we cannot learn from this. There are just some things that are essential to the gospel, and we have to keep it clean. So that's point number three. The Savior's servant. I couldn't find anything else that would be with S, but this is about the message, because we read here in verse 5, to them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. And this is what I mean, that we are the servant, the Savior's servants. We don't answer to anybody else who would like to bring in something. I remember this was many years ago, maybe Martin remembers it. I was visiting them in Karlsruhe, and we were just talking about liberalism, I think it was I don't want to say names, but a certain other denomination. And Martin said something like, these people take the liberty to rewrite the Bible however they wish. And I say to them, why do you even bother to keep the Bible? Why don't you just write your own book and leave it alone? I like it. I don't want to say it. It's a certain denomination.
Okay.
Whatever.
Report.
Yeah, the Savior servant, right? But this message is not something that we have come up with as a Northern Smithron, right? So we don't have the right to change it either. But we have to keep it
the way we have received it. And this is why Paul is so strong here in this manner. He says, we didn't give these people even one inch. No, you cannot circumcise one man, one Greek. I'm sorry, I'm not pointing. No, you can't. You can. That's a little thing, but I won't allow you to, because you will bring in something that Jesus didn't teach. He came to bring in something new, something brand new. He was a Jew. He was circumcised. He was born under the law. He fulfilled the law. And then he set us free from it. He died on the cross, became curse for everybody who could not keep the law. And now we are free from guilt. We are free from condemnation. And we are free to live however we please. And we are free to follow him. Mm-hmm. We are free to be his servants, the servants of the truth, instead of being servants of the lie anymore. So this message is not ours to change. We cannot change it because we didn't come up with it. We were handed it down through the ages, and it's especially true for us living in the 21st century. God made sure that the message is a grace message, and it was preserved and given to us in its clean form. The scriptures preserved for us, we see the struggle of the apostles to keep it the way it is. And this is our mandate, to be faithful in it. Be faithful servants and pass it on the way it is, without touching it, without adding to it, without taking away from it. And this is our privilege. So, a subtle spy, a strong stand, and the Savior's servant we are. So let's pray and finish.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the book of Galatians, for those scriptures that are here for us to read and understand your intentions. Thank you for the gospel, God. Thank you that it is grace and nothing else. Because nobody can do what you can do only. Lord, we ask you that you fire us up, that you give us understanding what those things are that want to make us compromise. Jesus, give us sharpness to understand and present the gospel the way we ought to. Thank you, Jesus. Bless our fellowship as we continue here. Bless our evening. Bless our sleep in the night. Bless the rest of the week we have. In your precious name.
No. Thank you for coming, Buddha.
Wow. Thank you for coming, Buddha.
Yes, the things that stop.
Oh, thank you, Mom.
Thank you,
and as a goal, see you.